She sat on the floor in front of the full-length mirror in the bedroom she slept in and examined her reflection. The girl in the mirror had sunken, darkened circles under her eyes. Her skin looked loose and spotty all over, and wrinkled at the corners of her eyes and along her forehead. Her thick, scraggly eyebrows needed to be tweezed. Her curly hair was mostly black, but it was also noticeably gray. The girl in the mirror looked ugly and old. She ran her fingers over her cheeks and forehead, feeling her face on her fingers and her fingers on her face. That can't be me. What's wrong with my face? The girl in the mirror sickened her. She found the bathroom and flicked on the light. She met the same image in the mirror over the sink. There were her golden brown eyes, her serious nose, her heart-shaped lips. But everything else, the composition around her features, was grotesquely wrong. She ran her fingers over the smooth, cool glass. What's wrong with these mirrors? The bathroom didn't smell right either. Two shiny white step stools, a brush, and a bucket sat on sheets of newspaper on the floor behind her. She squatted down and breathed in through her serious nose. She pried the lid off the bucket, dipped the brush in, and watched creamy white paint dribble down. She started with the ones she knew were defective, the one in the bathroom and the one in the bedroom she slept in. She found four more before she was finished and painted them all white. She sat in a big white chair, and the man who owned the house sat in the other one. The man who owned the house was reading a book and drinking a drink. The book was thick, and the drink was yellowish-brown with ice in it. She picked up an even thicker book than the one the man was reading from the coffee table and thumbed through it. Her eyes paused on diagrams of words and letters connected to other words and letters by arrows, dashes, and little lollipops. She landed on individual words as she browsed through the pages. Disinhibition, phosphorylation, genes, acetylcholine, priming, transients, demons, morphemes, phonological. "I think I've read this book before," said Alice. The man looked over at the book she held and then at her. "You've done more than that. You wrote it. You and I wrote that book together." Hesitant to take him at his word, she closed the book and read the shiny blue cover. "From Molecules to Mind," by John Howland, Ph.D. and Alice Howland, Ph.D. She looked up at the man in the chair. He's John. She flipped to the front pages. Table of contents. Mood and emotion. Motivation. Arousal and attention. Memory. Language. Language. She opened the book to somewhere near the end. An infinite possibility of expression. Learned, yet instinctive. Semanticity. Syntax. Case grammar. Irregular verbs. Effortless and automatic. Universal. The words she read seemed to push past the choking weeds and sludge in her mind to a place that was pristine and still intact, hanging on. "John," she said. "Yes." He put his book down and sat up straight at the edge of his big white chair. "I wrote this book with you," she said. "Yes. I remember. I remember you. I remember I used to be very smart." "Yes, you were. You were the smartest person I've ever known." This thick book with the shiny blue cover represented so much of what she used to be. "I used to know how the mind handled language, and I could communicate what I knew. I used to be someone who knew a lot. No one asked for my opinion or advice anymore. I miss that. I used to be curious and independent and confident. I miss being sure of things. There's no peace in being unsure of everything all the time. I miss doing everything easily. I miss being a part of what's happening. I miss feeling wanted. I miss my life and my family. I loved my life and family." She wanted to tell him everything she remembered and thought, but she couldn't send all those memories and thoughts, composed of so many words, phrases, and sentences, past the choking weeds and sludge into audible sound. She boiled it down and put all her effort into what was most essential. the rest would have to remain in the pristine place, hanging on. I miss myself. I miss you too, Allie, so much. I never planned to get like this. I know.